Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 1st, 2008. This is Adina Schutzberg, and I'm joined by my colleague, Joe Francica. Each week, we look at the latest news, trends, and technologies of interest to the geospatial community. This week, the European Union extended its investigations into the acquisition of Teleatlas by TomTom and Navtech by Nokia, causing stocks to drop and some to wonder what's ahead. Here in the United States, Pitney Bowes' CEO talked up his plans for growth for the recently acquired MapInfo, along with discussion of a rebranding effort across the corporate parent. We'll dig into those stories in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Experience the geographic advantage with ESRI's ArcGIS server, a comprehensive platform for cost-effectively delivering enterprise GIS applications. Learn more about ArcGIS Server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
At the end of last week, we had two stories, one behind the other. First, a statement from the EU that it was going to move into a phase two investigation of the acquisition of Teleatlas by TomTom. They pushed it up another 10 days. That caused TomTom's stock to fall. It also caused TomTom to push the acceptance period for its offer to the end of May. Now, at virtually the same time, the EU moved into a phase one investigation of the acquisition of Navtech by Nokia. And the concerns for both sets of acquisitions are roughly the same. We've certainly talked about this acquisition several times on this podcast, including right when it was announced. And we did have the discussion about whether or not we thought it would go through, and most of what we were quoting said there would be no problem. And Joe, I think you were the lone voice saying, I don't know.
This is a real issue. Everybody is waiting on the sidelines now. It's been noted in several of the financial reviews that investors are getting weary. It's a problem. They want this to go through in the U.S. The deal has already been approved. The EU is holding this up. Now the stocks are falling. People are wondering, you know, whether this has been a good investment for either the companies, and they still haven't settled the issue of the competitive situation about the data itself. There's all these questions still out there, and people are losing money.
Right. Well, let me try one question on you that I don't fully understand, and I should point out to our listeners that you actually have a business degree, and I don't. So I always like to go to you with my business questions. Why is it that the U.S. seemed to have no trouble with this and the EU is really digging in?
Well, that's a really good question. We've got two companies here in the U.S., Navtech and Teleatlas. They're being acquired by European companies. Why would the U.S. not have a problem with a European acquisition? I would think it'd be the other way around.
It is significant that these data players are being acquired by companies that are users of the data, and that has some bearing on who they might share that data with. But in point of fact, you still are ending up with two companies that have big database, worldwide databases of geographic data. So that part really hasn't changed.
These are major monopolistic moves. And Nokia knows it, and TomTom knows it, and there's really no getting around it. It appears that in the U.S. situation, that didn't seem to be an issue. In the European,
it didn't. And here's a suggestion just to throw out. Is it possible that the U.S. folks figured, well, it's going to get hung up in the EU, so why don't we just let them do it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. The issue still remains is that somebody caught it. Now it's a big deal. The EU is delving deeper into whether this is going to impact the cost of digital data to other potential users, OEMs, whoever. And I think that's a really valid concern.
Let me just detail the exact concerns that the EU put to TomTom on sort of first review. And there were three things. They were concerned that TomTom and Teleatlas would keep sensitive information from rival GPS customers. They were concerned that Teleatlas would provide TomTom competitors inferior maps. And they were concerned that the combination created efficiencies that were otherwise unattainable. So those are what the EU came back to TomTom with as concerns. And as I understand it, what TomTom Teleatlas have to do now, have already been asked to do and now have an extension to do, is to propose some remedies that will make the EU comfortable with the acquisition. Now, in digging a bit deeper into this, I turned up some of those suggested remedies. And the one that seems to be floated these days as being most likely is a very strange one in my eyes. And I'm going to quote an article here from CNBC by Thompson that says, sources familiar with the matter told Thompson that TomTom is preparing to offer to sell its archived map database to a third party to allay the commission's concerns over the deal's effect on competition. This seems like a wholesale life or limb kind of thing. They're just going to cut the guts out from TeleAtlas, which is this huge database that they've been putting together for years and years and through a whole series of acquisitions.
If that's the case, then there's no reason for the acquisition.
I agree with you, and that's why this sounds so very strange.
Let's go back to the questions they raised. There's absolutely no remedy for these questions. You buy the companies, you make an offer to acquire a company for the very purpose of gaining a strategic advantage. Both TomTom and Nokia knew this going into the deal. Whether that impacts their competitors is exactly the reason why you would do this. So if there's concerns about the competitive landscape of what the ramifications of these deals are, it's not going to pass muster on a competitive nature like this.
Right, and if they do hack off the database and sell it off to somebody else, I can't imagine that TomTom would still be interested in the company, because what they would be left with is what, the knowledge of how to create the database? And then they'd have to go start all over again?
Yeah, that's a crazy kind of a remedy. And the only other thing I could think of was something similar to what Garmin did with Navtec, is putting in place a long-term deal to get the data. And that's the only remedy I would see that can be attainable.
Which isn't really a remedy. It really is a non-acquisition. It's a different kind of relationship. Now, some of the other remedies that have also been talked about, I mean, none of this is sort of official, are things like the creation of a third party, an independent player that would compete against TeleAtlas and Navtec. But I'm not sure how you do that. Do you just go out and create one from scratch, or do you take an existing company like AND and say, okay, you're going to be the third company in the competitive landscape, and we're going to bolster you up? The EU is going to give you money to, you know, get bigger?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't see that happening. I mean, one of the reasons why companies do business, it's, you know, standard in any business that you start, is you want to create a high barrier to entry to competitors. They've got a huge barrier to entry. You know, you just don't go out and drive every street in the world and turn it on the next day.
Absolutely.
So,
it sounds like everything that's happening with the TomTom TeleAtlas deal is following suit with the Nokia Navtec deal. There's a little bit of a delay, but we're now going into a phase one investigation. I can't imagine that there's going to be different outcomes from these two different deals.
No, I think one is, you know, looking at the other and seeing what transpires. From a financial point of view, or from a speculator point of view, the stock, Navtec in this case, is now trading almost $10, less than what the offer price by Nokia was. If you're a speculator in the market and you really think that deal is going to go through, you've got an incredible upside potential if it actually closes at $78 a share.
But I'm getting the sense from you, you're not optimistic about either of these.
I actually think they're going to go through. I think that this is one of those wait-and-see kind of a periods that there's some due diligence that needs to go through. But I can't see these deals not going through at this point.
Right. Well, and if that is true, the only thing that's being impacted now is the timing, and that this is getting pushed further and further out into the year. There's already discussions that, you know, neither of these are going to close until the second half of the year at the earliest. And that may have some impact on how those two companies do in this calendar year. Now, the other story that came out of the geospatial business world this week was really a very small story. It had to do with the CEO of Pitney Bowes, Martin Murray, visiting MapInfo's home territory, and he spoke to some groups and spoke to the local papers. And what came out of that were two pretty interesting points, one having to do with a vision for the revenue from MapInfo. And I think there may be some miscommunications here, because there was a statement that they wanted to grow MapInfo to a $1 billion company over the next 4 years. which seems like a big jump, since in 2006, MapInfo's revenues were, you know, $165 million. So I think maybe what they're talking about is Pitney Bowes software, of which MapInfo is a part. But clearly, they see an awful lot of potential for MapInfo. The other interesting tidbit that came out, and this relates back to this confusion that I just mentioned about whether it's MapInfo or Pitney Bowes software, is a rebranding that's going to be occurring across the company, across Pitney Bowes. And this CEO, Martin, said, with 85 acquisitions, it's important for us to look at the whole brand and the whole brand philosophy. And those 85 acquisitions, in fact, happened in roughly 85 years. So that company has been running into this exact problem for quite some time.
Let me address the issue of the revenue that they intend to get from MapInfo. We've blogged about this before. Where they're getting these numbers is from the combined revenue stream between MapInfo and Group One.
Right now, what is called Pitney Bowes Software, right?
Right.
Part of the bigger Pitney Bowes organization.
So when I spoke to Mike Hickey, the president of what was MapInfo, what he had told me was that they're going to grow 20% organically for the next 4 to 5 years. That means that they think that their business can grow that much. The second one was accretive revenue, which means through other acquisitions, they want to get to reach that $1 billion level. So given that they're already at $400 million, if you want to include the Group One revenue, that's the almost $200 million from MapInfo and then the revenue from Group One. So they believe they're starting out at $400 million, trying to get into $1 billion with 20% growth every year and then through other acquisitions. To the rebranding effort, there's obviously big confusion. What do you call it, MapInfo or Pitney Bowes Software or Pitney Bowes MapInfo? I hope they settle it soon, because just give us the name. That's all we want at this point. The fiasco is this interim period that we've been in for the last year since the acquisition, which is totally, confused the market, totally confused their own customers. And it would have been better to put a name out there, make a decision, and go forward. But the interim period has caused a great deal of confusion, and I would fault the CEO for not taking quicker action on that to get it straight.
Yeah, and then the fact that maybe they haven't looked at this for 85 years also is interesting. They've been acquiring companies left and right since the beginning, and my understanding is most of those were more closely tied to the traditional mailing business of Pitney Bowes. And maybe this one was further enough afield and had a loyal following in our little world of geospatial that it seemed much more distressing than some of these other acquisitions and branding situations were. But I certainly was disappointed, and we were shooting emails off to MapInfo to make sure we knew what to call the company.
Yes, it did seem far afield from our perspective. However, in the larger picture, it was a good move by Pitney Bowes. The problem is Pitney Bowes in general has brand recognition in the postal metering business. That doesn't bode well for MapInfo. And yet, when you think about where you start with a lot of the geo business, the GIS in business, whatever you want to call it, the business geographics applications, you start with an address. And we've just had several recent articles on addressing and the problems with addressing. So, yeah, good move by Pitney Bowes, and even better when you start combining with some of their other acquisitions in the marketing software solutions business. Makes a great acquisition move. But let's get on with it.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I have to say I'm interested and a little bit excited as somebody who watches this industry to see what they're going to do. We haven't had too many rebrandings in recent years, so it's always exciting to find a new one. And I'll just point out two of these. We all were sort of surprised when, back in 2000, Small World was acquired by GE, and the Small World name sort of disappeared, which I found very disappointing because I thought it was a great brand and they had done an awful lot to make it a great brand. More recently, LaserScan changed its name to OneSpatial. And that was one of those that took a little getting used to, but certainly it was time for that organization to rebrand itself with sort of the newer things it was doing. And I think that's been a very successful rebranding. They've put a lot of energy into it, and that's starting to take. So I'm looking forward to Pitney Bowes doing something along that lines.
And you can expect more of these types of moves in the future. We're consolidating as an industry. The larger players, the larger IT players are stepping in with new efforts, and you're just going to see more movements of repositioning. Existing companies in the business will reposition themselves given the greater awareness of the need for.
Right. So I think that this Pitney Bowes MapInfo acquisition / rebranding is going to be a good case study to look at. Well, that's all the time we have today. But before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like to invite you to the 8th Annual ESRI Education User Conference to be held in San Diego, California on August 2nd to the 5th. There you can meet with members of the worldwide GIS education community and hear from peers about ways GIS technology can enhance teaching, learning, and understanding. Online registration ends June 13th. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. If you'd like to email us about this podcast topic or anything else, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.